The Prayer of the Heavenly High Priest, Chapter 77. You know that for hundreds of years the Jewish people had a high priest. Aaron was first to fill this important office. When he died, his son Eleazar succeeded him as high priest. So it continued for many centuries. If a high priest died, another would succeed him. You know the names of several high priests. I will mention a few of them. Eli was a judge and a high priest at the same time. Ahimelech lived during the reign of King Saul. He was murdered by Doeg. During David's days, Abiathar was high priest, and later Zadok. When the wicked queen Athaliah reigned, the God-fearing high priest Jehoiada lived. During the days of Jesus' sojourn upon the earth, Caiaphas was the high priest. What must the high priest do? What was his work? Ah, I do not have to tell you, for you know. He had to sacrifice and pray. He made atonement for all the people. He represented the people. But all these high priests died, being people. These high priests were types of the Lord Jesus, and they pointed to the Messiah who would come. The Lord Jesus is the only great high priest. The Jewish high priest offered an animal, a lamb, but the Lord Jesus offered himself upon the cross. The earthly high priests shed the blood of an animal, but the heavenly high priest shed his own blood upon Golgotha's height. As I told you before, the earthly high priest not only had to sacrifice, but he also had to pray. He had to pray for all the people of Israel. The heavenly high priest also prayed for his people, for his elect. In our thoughts, we will return to the Passover room, where the Lord Jesus is gathered with his disciples on this Thursday night, the last night before his suffering and death. We told you in the previous chapter something of what took place there. Before Jesus leaves this room, he first prays. I will tell you something of this holy high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. You must be very attentive because it is not easy. In this prayer, the Lord Jesus prays first for himself, which isn't surprising. Soon he must suffer and die. Another few hours, and he will be dragged away as a malefactor. The suffering shall be terrible, for he must bear the full wrath of God against sin. It is true, the Savior is the Son of God. But he is also man, true man. Therefore he prays to his heavenly Father for strength in the hour of trial. The Lord Jesus, the Creator of heaven and earth, left heaven and came upon this cursed earth as man. This curse rests upon the earth because of sin. Why did Jesus come into this world? He came to save sinners. The sins of his people were laid upon him. Those sins were imputed to him. Sin must be punished, for God is righteous. Every sin must be punished. The wicked must bear the punishment themselves, but Jesus bore the punishment for God's people. God does not look at the sins of his people through the fingers. Oh no, God also punished those sins, but in another, namely the Lord Jesus. This belonged to the work of the Messiah here upon the earth. Therefore Jesus prays for strength in this severe path of suffering. After his suffering and death, he will arise from the dead. He will ascend into heaven, and one day, the last day, he will return upon the clouds of heaven as judge, to judge the quick and the dead. Then he will be glorified. First he must suffer humiliation, and afterwards be exalted. All this had to happen so God could be glorified. All this would redound to the honor and glory of the triune God. The Lord not only prays for himself, he also prays for his disciples. He asks his heavenly Father to keep them. The Savior, by his death, will merit salvation for his disciples. Soon, the Lord Jesus will no longer be in the world, but his disciples shall be upon the earth. They will be hated, despised, and persecuted. Listen to how he gives his disciples over to his heavenly Father. Holy Father, he says, keep them through thine own name. Keep them from sin. Keep them from their many enemies. Give that they may love each other. The Lord Jesus does not ask if all his disciples may die. The Lord Jesus does not ask God to take them out of the world. No, on the contrary, they still must remain upon the earth, for they must go out and preach. They must bring the gospel to a world which lies in wickedness. Or they may tell sinners, who lie dead in sins and transgressions, that there still is a possibility for them to be saved. They may direct lost sinners to the Savior as the only way to be saved. But, Holy Father, so he prays, keep thou them, keep them in thy name, keep them from evil, keep them from sin. And then the Lord Jesus also prays for all those who through the means of the preaching of the gospel shall be converted. This preaching shall be sanctified to the hearts of many. Dead sinners shall be made alive by the operation of God's Spirit. Many shall receive a new heart. Many, by saving faith, shall learn to know the Lord Jesus as their surety and Savior. The preaching of the apostles shall not be in vain. When the time arrives for the disciples to die and to be taken into eternal glory by their King, others will continue their work. God will call his servants to the office of the ministry, and this shall continue throughout the ages. God's servants, the ministers, still proclaim this same gospel. The word of God never changes. God remains the same forever. Up to this present day, dead sinners are converted to God by means of the preaching of God's servants. There always will be children of God upon the earth. The heavenly high priest also prays for these people. He does not pray for all the people who live upon the earth. He prays only for his people. Yes, he is praying here for the entire church of God. Children, probably you have a God-fearing father or mother, grandfather or grandmother, brother or sister. At this time, the Lord Jesus also prayed for them. Yes, he still prays for them in the lofty heavens. God shall keep his children. This prayer of the Lord Jesus has been heard and answered by his heavenly Father. Not one of God's children shall go lost. Every converted person shall come into heaven. Why? because Jesus prayed for them, because Jesus suffered for them, because Jesus died and arose for them. It is because of this, and this only. Does the Lord Jesus pray for you too? This is a serious question, isn't it? It also is a difficult question, am I right? Everyone who goes lost lies outside this intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus. For, and I say again this with emphasis, he prays only for his elect. Read what Jesus says, "I pray not for the world." But who are they? Who are the elect? God has hidden this from us. We do not know who they are. Neither are we, first of all, to inquire therein. You still live under the means of grace. You still hear the preaching of God's servants. They call to you Sunday after Sunday that you still can be converted. The door of grace is not closed. Oh, boys and girls, bend your knees often. Ask the Lord to uncover your guilt to you. Ask the Lord to bless the preaching to your hearts. Ask the Lord to make you from dead alive. Do not despise these callings of God. You still live in the day of grace. This chapter is not easy. On the contrary, it is difficult. Still, I hope you have understood something of it. Above all, my desire for you is that the Lord may sanctify it to your heart.